The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Did I tell you how great the NBA playoffs is? Hey, this is Sam Smith. We know that. We've been through that. And the last time I left you on this podcast, it was before. Holy crap. Did you see that game, that Bulls game, that game four? That's what's great about the NBA. It was great about the NBA playoffs. The triple overtime game. Joakim Noah has now played in two triple overtime playoff games. Won them both. I didn't look that up. That's got to be the record. Well, it doesn't matter if it's a record. It's pretty impressive and it's fun. And that was a heck of a terrific, fun game. Everybody wants to know, oh, it's the greatest game. There have been a lot of great games. Obviously, great comebacks. I mean, I remember, even though they didn't win this one, I think it was the 90 playoffs. It was either 90 or 91 with the Bulls in Philadelphia. Bulls were down 26 with about six, seven minutes left in the fourth quarter. Got within two, ended up losing. I think it was the only game they lost in that series. So we've seen some of these great runs, but Nate ended up with 1 point short of Jordan's franchise fourth quarter record there for points with Nate at 23. Just a fabulous closing effort, but especially because they were down 14 points with about 3 minutes to go. And then to get it to regulation, go through that many overtimes and come out with the win. Great, obviously, for Bulls fans, but great for the NBA. Great to see a game like that. And it's been a good playoffs. Obviously, you know, some exceptions. We didn't expect Miami would have any trouble with Milwaukee. And this has been an extraordinary run for the Heat. It's amazing with the Lakers being swept and knocked out of the playoffs and having to listen to Dwight Howard's stuff again, who actually kind of pulled that Sammy Sosa sort of thing. And I always thought the Cubs were wrong about that. And it was kind of a biased act to sort of banish Sammy. I guess he left that last game. But in effect, Howard did the same thing, got himself thrown out. Didn't take off his shirt like Andrew Bynum. But there is something radically wrong. I think that was an old expression of my fifth grade teacher. There's something radically wrong with Laker centers these days. But that said, the Bulls triple overtime game really topped off some fabulous playoff games. And, you know, given it's a 4-5 series, was kind of expected, maybe not the way it's unfolded with the Nets blowing out the Bulls the first game, Bulls coming back and winning three in a row, culminating with that game, and then going to Brooklyn. And you really, even though they're up 3-1, you really never got the feeling the Bulls were going to win that game, even though they came back and got within one a couple of times in the fourth quarter, which was actually kind of a surprise, but you know, didn't play great energetic game, not unlike Tuesday night, Golden State going back into Denver. Made a late run, like the Bulls did, very similar type games. And then it's on you to go home and take that. Although Golden State is actually healthier, whatever you can say that, with Andrew Bogut on your team. You know, the Bulls have a tough situation. Obviously, they've had the issues with Noah and his plantar fasciitis, which he's, you know, continued to play through, and it's not had a particularly good series. Some good spurts and great moments earlier in the series in the win in Brooklyn in the overtime game, but very tough to sustain. It's very hard from the finish of the basket. You can see shooting well under 40%, not making his free throws, just off. It's been tough and really, you know, doing a fabulous job playing through what's a very painful situation. And now Kirk Heinrich getting that calf injury. After he had a thigh injury, I think, you know, he's got all the parts, that's neck bone connected to the thigh bone thing. I don't think those bones are actually technically corrected, but it's kind of why I went into initially business and then journalism, because I was a very poor science student. And so I never got the bones right either. But that said, you know, Kirk's had about six or seven injuries this season, but you see his tremendous worth, especially in that fourth game. It was great the way he dogged Darren Williams all over the place. It was just a fabulous job of defense to watch. Just watching that alone, I mean, obviously Nate with the ball was spectacular, but watching him push Darren Williams all over the place. And Darren Williams is a really tough physical, probably the most physical point guard to play. Not as clever as a lot of the guys, or even, and really more physical than Russell Westbrook, who, you know, plays in sort of a fury. But Darren is a strong, tough guy, and Kirk battled him everywhere, shot the ball well, and got 14 assists. Huge loss, which forced Nate into the starting lineup in game five, which is a tough situation. I mean, everybody wants to start, but now you're putting him into a situation where he's got to get ball handler, run the offense. And look, Nate was brought in as essentially a, you know, third guard off the bench, emergency situation, given Derrick Rose's absence. You know, the hope Rose would be back late in the season, and Heinrich would move back to backup guard. Nate would be third, maybe fourth guard, depending on the advance of Marcus Teague. But we see here in the playoff games, Nate having to start, and though it's not, you know, it's not his fault. He's not that kind of player, but it's hard for him to get Boozer involved. He's not a very good post passer, which is a much harder thing than you would think, especially with the size of these guys, the quickness of these guys, the angles you have to play. It's a very subtle, difficult thing to do. And so Boozer only had 8 shots in game 5. Ding is not getting passing lanes because they're able to, you know, they're able to pack it in because the ball's not moving as well. So those are issues going into game 6 that if Heinrich is not playing, but it's still going to be very tough to address. And that's why you're looking at a 7-game series, as a lot of people have forecast that, not only because it's 4-5, but 3 of the 4 games between the Nets and Bulls could have gone either way during the season. And now Brook Lopez is playing a much, much higher level than I've ever seen him play. So this talk that he's the, you know, one, the best center in the league, I don't necessarily go along with that, but he is playing more physically, going to the basket, not just settling for outside jumpers. And whereas after game 1, the Bulls did a really good job of covering up the paint and closing up the paint, the last couple of games, especially once Heinrich went out, they've had a lot of difficulty containing penetration on the perimeter, and that forces their big guys to step up. And Lopez and Reggie Evans have had clean runs to the boards, and that's just destroyed the Bulls on the boards in game 5, you know, which is pretty unusual. So, you know, it's setting up for just a terrific finish for this series. Now you've got two teams in a desperate situation, you know, perhaps going to a 7th game, and then Miami waiting there with Miami much reminds me of the Bulls in the 90s in the sense of not exactly the same team, but finishing up the playoffs quickly, sweeping and waiting a week or 10 days as the Bulls often had to do, and then running through that second round team as well. So whoever gets there is probably not going to have a very long series anyway, but it would be probably an accomplishment for both teams just to get there and, you know, take a game or two from Miami. I think they've won like 41 of 43 after the Milwaukee series, 20 of their last 21 on the road. I mean, these are extraordinary numbers. I mean, unprecedented almost to come in to the playoffs and virtually being ignored with everything else going on, obviously, you know, around the league in the playoffs. The Lakers situation, of course, we're going to have to hear about Dwight Howard and where he wants to go and what he wants to be. And if he's going to grow up, you know, Nate talks about being in his Peter Pan world, and seems like Howard is certainly, at least sort of a Tinkerbell figure in that world, easily disappearing. But I mean, obviously, a guy the Lakers will want to keep, should try to keep, just because there's not, you know, that many high level players. But you know, given what an erratic personality he's been and figure, there'll be teams making offers. Houston, I'm sure, is going to try to cash in everybody. And Omer Asik has played great in these playoffs, even though Houston got behind in the series, came back and got a win. Omer has been terrific, made a great defensive play at the end on Reggie Jackson's drive. So really one of the better defensive plays in the playoffs is to save sort of tying basket. But that also brings me to obviously Russell Westbrook's injury of another point guard going down with a serious knee injury, which is just inexplicable for the most part. So I won't try to explain it since I have somewhat difficulty explaining the explainable at times. But I'm working on that. That said, that brings Oklahoma City into the pack. I've been watching Oklahoma City up till the point where Russell got hurt. I mean, I watched them all season, last couple of years anyway, because I have nothing else to do. But I thought Kevin Durant played much too cautiously this year. I mean, my favorite statistic of the season was Kevin Durant until like the last few days of the season when Carmelo Anthony passed him, was leading the league in scoring. And Russell Westbrook had a huge lead in shots, averaging more shots. It's unheard of virtually. I think it happened in the mid-50s with Philadelphia, the only time ever. And it shouldn't be. You have to have some sort of a pecking order on the team. And Durant is virtually unguardable. And Westbrook is running down, taking bad shot after bad shot. So I thought they were going to have trouble in the playoffs anyway, just because Westbrook was going to shoot him out of a number of games as well. I'm sure this is not the way they wanted to do it exactly. So, I mean, Durant has had to be more aggressive, score more, which he should be because he scores so easily. That said, it's going to be, I think they have the possibilities of it because they really have underutilized Ibaka. Ibaka is a very good jump shooter, mid-range jump shooter. You get him on the move, he can score at the basket, he's strong. And they stand around and watch Durant and Westbrook shoot jump shots, which now, perhaps they won't do as much. Also, other than Ibaka is a very good defender, obviously, and Thabo Sefolosha, the other guys didn't play defense at all. And I guess you could understand on some level with Durant since he had to score so much, although this year he was very efficient. Westbrook, too. I mean, it's almost like somebody is in the military and ask them to stand at attention. They never have their arms up. They're never challenging shooters. So we'll see if it changes, now as they more than likely will be heading into the second round. Also in the East, the biggest surprise to me has been the Golden State series. Obviously, they're in a situation now to go back. Very raw. It really is one of the more unique or maybe the most unique crowd situation in the league. They've been a poor team for the last, until this season. I think they made the playoffs once in the last 9 or 10 years. And really one of the more enthusiastic, and people always ask you about arenas and crowds, and Golden State is really kind of a special place for crowd involvement. People are into the game, know the game, very enthusiastic. They're really a good crowd and a good environment, and so that'll be a big positive. And that's what's great about the playoffs, too, because that series is worked into, a classic matchup of styles. Warriors winning the battle of the strategy early on, going small in the early game, especially with, once David Lee went out, drawing Denver into that game and then being able to outshoot him because Denver doesn't shoot as well. Now, Denver got back, got a win Tuesday by going bigger, even though Denver made a run late. Iguodala pulled some shots out. But, sort of interesting, George Karl kind of did the same thing against the Bulls in the 96 finals. He held Gary Payton off Jordan until the fourth game almost. After the Bulls went up 3-0, it was like kind of late in the third game. And Payton had been defensive player of the year that year. And then not to say shut down Jordan, but it sort of changed the tenor of the series. And George will overthink playoff series. And I think he did too. He had a big edge in size and got lured into matching down with Golden State. And I think that enabled Golden State to get up on top in the series and put it in a situation where they can go home and close. I thought Indiana would sweep through Atlanta, but Atlanta responded with a similar situation. Atlanta had been playing real small, and Indiana is overrated all season, and certainly played like that in the losses in Atlanta. But a team that has a lot of trouble scoring really doesn't have a guy to go to. Paul George at times, although I thought the matchup obviously was bad early and tougher. A guy we love, Kyle Korver, on George, it was getting to the line and just too quick for Kyle. But they moved Josh Smith over to three, went with a bigger lineup and got two convincing wins back in Atlanta. You would still think Indiana has the edge in that series, just you know, given their depth and the fact that Atlanta basically broke up half its team to get under the salary cap this year. But, you know, a real challenge to the Pacers. And, you know, obviously, and the other one, Boston came back, got a win. Hard to see them, you know, again, team that had a lot, it's got a lot of injuries, obviously. You know, no Rondo changes that series a lot if Rondo's playing, because, you know, the Knicks get caught up in that bad isolation play. And even though Mike Woodson, you know, is a competent coach, all this coach of the year talk, of course, if Denver loses the series, I saw a headline in the Denver Post, again, I'm reading papers I shouldn't be, saying that if Denver loses the series, should George Karl be fired, which would be the first coach fired, to my recollection, on the day he receives his Coach of the Year award. Now, he's not going to, probably won't be fired if he loses the series, but George is most likely only Coach of the Year. And I've heard Mike Woodson in that conversation, and I know the Knicks have won a lot of games and, you know, had a terrific season, but they had caught up in this individual play, and Carmelo Anthony goes off shooting all over the place when, you know, J.R. Smith got suspended the other day, you know, and which is sort of the joke that he's as under control as he's ever been and, you know, only been suspended a few times. So I know it's a tough team to coach, you know, I give him that. And Woodson, you know, who played under Bobby Knight, you know, is pretty good with discipline. But on the floor, basketball-wise, lets players, did in Atlanta, you know, played a lot of isolation. Joe Johnson obviously plays that way, but Josh Smith did too. And, you know, never really, even though they improved in the regular season every year. And like I say, he's a competent coach, but, you know, can he get a team over the edge? And so we'll see. Should get by this series. And then, you know, Indiana has not played like a team that believes it's going to play Miami. So we'll see how far that one gets as well. And then so in the West, you know, it's sort of setting up. I mean, after sitting back, San Antonio with Oklahoma City's, and you know, in their situation without Westbrook, now the old Spurs with old Duncan, who's been written off a couple of years ago, have moved into the favorites, basically. You know, have depth, Manu Ginobili back. Tony Parker seems recovered from his ankle problems. And, you know, they did lose Splitter for, I think, a week or something with a sprained ankle, but they're basically off a week after sweeping the Lakers. So they're in terrific position. And probably the toughest, you know, the toughest series, another great series, you know, like in the East, you know, the Bulls and Nets, you know, have made it worthwhile by putting together a real competitive series. And, you know, similarly with the Grizzlies and the Clippers, which has just been terrific stuff. Both teams really playing, you know, physical series, tough series. You know, the Grizzlies, who I thought would be outplayed for the most part because of their lack of perimeter shooting, and just physically overwhelmed the Clippers with Gasol and Zach Randolph. And, you know, Blake Griffin, I think, had hurt his ankle in practice and just, you know, sort of so he's been struggling. But that's a tough series in the sense that one of those teams, and you look at matchups and the talent on those teams, I'm not saying that they would beat Miami, but either one of those teams could compete with Miami and give them a heck of a series. And one of them, after a great season and a chance to not only be in the finals, but, you know, maybe win a title, is going to be out in the first round, which is tough. But that's, you know, that's how good the top of the West has been. So it's been, you know, it's made it a great playoffs and a great series. And so I'll be looking forward to catching up with you next week when we're heading into the conference semifinals. And there should be still some great games to come this weekend. So be watching. And where do you get this? Bulls.com. And there's somewhere else. I forgot. There's some other place they told me, and I forgot. But you guys all know where it is. So, and tell your friends. I know they say that on TV too. So anyway, but follow me at sam@bulls.com. And with the Bulls, my NBA columns on Mondays, which are great. But that's, you know, my opinion. So enjoy the playoffs, and I will too. And have a good week.